Many attend church, but only few worship. Many go to church, but only few people get to actually worship. Now, when you think about that statement, you're saying that not because you go to church, that doesn't guarantee that you get to worship God. And that's true. I mean, George Barna Research Group, they will tell you a lot about this thing that we call worship. I think worship is one of those things that we talk a lot in church. We hear a lot, worship services, but I think, truth be told, we don't know much about what worship truly is. See, for instance, today we are here, and this is called a worship service. In a sense, it's like a worship experience. This area is called the worship area. That's fellowship. Apparently, you cannot have worship in the fellowship area. You know, like we use the language all the time, and perhaps we had no idea really what we're talking about. Worship is not confined just to one particular place. Jesus said that when the text that RJ talked about, that God's really seeking true worshipers. You see, this idea that people go to a church building to worship, but perhaps they come out of that building and they had no idea. They never experienced this idea of worship. What is worship? How would you define it? Have you ever thought why you come together on Sunday morning with other church people? Why do we do that? Have you ever thought about? I mean, some of us would say, well, because we want to worship God. But the question is, well, what is worshiping God? What is that? You know, and so some of those terms that we just throw out there loosely, we had to be able to define them so that we can grasp and have a better concept of what it is that we're talking about when we say worship Jesus, worship the Lord. How would you define worship? Now, if you go to Webster, Webster would say worship is the act of showing respect and love for a God. Worship is defined by Webster as reverence offered to a divine being or supernatural power. That's just Webster. I mean, Webster, in a sense, got it. Reverence, respect. You know, part of me, I think that in our society, we have lost this idea of respect for the divine. You know, when we go to churches, like, we don't treat God the same way like we used to treat him 50 years ago. In our society, we are losing the sense of awe and standing all of God. Like the sense of respect. I mean, you know, sometimes I think we respect things around us. You know, people respect the national anthem. Most people get up and they remove their cap. You know, just like to remember, to pause and reflect on that. That's a sense of worship. You're respecting that when somebody's singing that. And you know, there are people, they don't care. They just, you know, while somebody's singing, they're just like, yeah, you know, doing this. And it's like, and we do the same in church. When it comes to worshiping God, like there's something else, like RJ was talking about, that would distract us from focusing totally, fully on Him. So it's this act of showing respect. How do you show respect to God? Now, Holman Bible Dictionary defines worship this way. It is a human response to the perceived presence of divine, a presence that transcends normal activity and holy. Worship, you can define, is our response to God. How we respond to who God is. And I found this other definition, which I love. Talking about God, worship as a response to God, Michael Morrison says it this way. Worship is a response to God. We can't know God. We can't know His worth, much less declare it, unless God reveals Himself to us. So God initiates worship by revealing Himself to us. Then we respond. And the proper response is worship, he says. The proper response is worship. The more we grasp His greatness, His love, His power, His character, the more we understand His worthiness, the better we can declare His worth, the better we can worship. And I think he hit it right on the money right there. Worship, you are ascribing worth to something. So in this case, it's God. And so the more that you understand who God is, you don't have any other response than to just worship Him, just to surrender, to respect Him for who He is, for the greatness. I mean, we sing songs like "How Great Is Our God," and we understand and we pray and we, "Amazing Grace, how sweet it is." But I don't think you truly get to worship God to the, you know, in spirit and truth, like we talked about, until you get to understand who truly, who he is. Like he said, the more you understand his greatness, his love, his power, then you have any other choice but to just bow down and worship him and show him respect, reverence. The word for fear in the Bible is this idea of reverence. You know, some translation will call that reverent fear because you know who he is, that he and I, we're not on the same turf. He's way bigger than I am. And because I understand who he is, I just respect you, bow down to you. We should respond to God with all our being. You know, sometimes when we come to church, you might respond to God. Maybe you lift in your hands. Please, hear me out. I'm not saying that you only worship when you lift up your hands. In some churches, that's what they would tell you, that that's the only way you worship God. Worship has so many expressions. You can worship God sitting down, whatever. I mean, God doesn't care how you do it, but one thing that he cares about is that it comes from your heart. You know, but once we get the heart in that, sometimes we're motivated to fall flat on our faces, to get on our knees, to lift up our hands. I mean, those things are just expressions of worship. Because we respect him so much, we know how great he is, how great is our God, and we just respond by offering everything that we have. I mean, when God talks about love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, I mean, everything that you are, put it to love him. Show God that you love him this much. Worship is the same. If we are to worship God fully, we are to engage all of us, not just some things. You see, mind, heart, body, strength. God knows when our response to him is not authentic. He knows when we're just putting on a show for him. He knows that perhaps you can fool a lot of people because you look so holy today. You're worshiping. God knows your heart. So we can never fool God. So he knows when we're really responding out of because, well, somebody just tell me to lift up my hands. He knows if we're really fully doing it because it comes from our heart. He examines the heart and he knows the intentions of our hearts. One thing that I found out in the Bible is one thing that God does not tolerate is irreverent worship. One thing God doesn't like is disrespectful worship. Now, I want to talk about that subject because perhaps you had no idea. Perhaps you had to respect God in the way you worship and you had no idea you did it. You know, how many times we might have done that? We had no idea that we just disrespected God because how we came to him in worship. In the Bible, there were some people that they thought they can just come into the presence of God whichever way they wanted. And let me just tell you this, my friends. You cannot worship God whichever way you want. You know, like this idea that people say, well, I can worship, this is my Jesus. That's not according to the Bible. You cannot worship God whichever way you please. You have to worship him according to what he already described. According to what he already said in the scripture, you have to worship God according to what he already prescribed for you. If the doctor gave you a prescription, you just don't say, well, that's what you told me. I'm going to do it my way. Then when you die, don't blame the doctor. So when God said, this is the way you work, you know, there were a couple of kids, well, they were men already, sons of priests in the Bible, and they decided, well we're going to go into the presence of God. You know, in the Old Testament, they have this Holy of Holies, that only the high priest would go in there. So they said, well, yeah, we can go in there too. They went in there and they never came out. Because God already told them you can come in there. You have to do so many washing and ceremonial cleansing before you go in there. And they thought, yeah, we can approach God any way we want. Our dad can approach God, so we can too. And it shows you cannot approach God just whichever way you desire. To worship God, we have to do according to what he already says in his word. Jesus told a Samaritan woman, you worship what you do not know, but we Jews worship what we do know because salvation is from the Jews. And I tell you, woman, the time is coming when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, because those are the kinds of worshipers that the Father seeks, that you can worship with sincerity and in truth, according to his truth, his decrees, his laws, his statutes. Like I said, when it comes to worshiping God, we cannot just do it whichever way we please. We have to do it according to what he says, because if we do it whichever way we please, we might be disrespecting him. And I tell you, you don't want to disrespect God when it comes to his worship. And I'm going to show you a story what happened. Some people that they just came to honor God or to offer offerings to God, And they took for granted what God already has said to them, how to offer those gifts to Him. Worship begins and ends with God. It's all about Him. And we must do it in a way that is pleasing and honoring to Him, according to His commands. Because any other way we do it is corrupt. Any other way we do it is not pleasing to God, and then therefore it is disrespectful. You see, during the time of the prophet Malachi is in your Bible. He's the last prophet in the Old Testament. The prophet Malachi prophesied during the 5th century BC. That's when the Jewish people already have come back from Babylonian exile, and they already rebuilt the temple. Nehemiah was part of those people, and Ezra, who came back from exile. So Malachi prophesied during the time, because after the temple was rebuilt, people began to offer sacrifices to Yahweh once again, and they would begin to worship. But what happened was, people were just being corrupt. They just forgot about what the Lord already said in the Torah, in the law, and they were worshiping God. So Yahweh sent Malachi to confront His people, to tell him, your worship is not right. You gotta change. See, Malachi was the last prophet in the Old Testament, and he made a prophecy in the last chapter that somebody was going to come in the power of Elijah. So in other words, Malachi is telling us that was God's final saying to His people through the prophet. And he had a lot to do with worship. Malachi was the last one, and there was like a period of about 400 years. God did not talk to any prophet until many years later, like more than 400 years. Somebody in the Judean desert named John the Baptist began to tell people, repent, the kingdom of God is near. From Malachi to John the Baptist. Malachi was the last one. So it's interesting. You know how when people, sometimes you hear his final words. Here's the final words of the Old Testament. This prophet we're going to be looking at in chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. And this it's interesting because when you read the first verse, it's an oracle. It's Malachi is just telling the people what God already said. So you have your Bibles, Malachi, chapter 1, I don't know what page it might be, but again, it's the last book in the Old Testament, right before Matthew. If you find Matthew, just go back, and you find Malachi. Just listen to the words of God, Yahweh, talking to the Jewish people, and what was going on with their worship. And directly, he's addressing his words to the priests, those in charge of the worship, those in charge of ministering to God. So the Lord says, this is God talking, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priests, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? You place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. Then you bring blind animals for sacrifice. Is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now implore God to be gracious to us with such offerings from your hands. Will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that no one would light useless fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty. And I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying of the Lord's table, it is defiled, and of his food, it is contemptible. And you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, crippled, and diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands? Says the Lord. Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. So God is really angry at these people. Especially the people that, when you think about it, they were the ones who really knew God. And this is how they're worshiping Him. This is how they were offering and bringing the offerings to God. You see, there was a corrupt worship that they were giving Yahweh. Now, the question is, could your worship be irreverent to God? Could it be disrespectful? When I look at the text, I can tell you the answer is yes. It could be disrespectful to the Lord because these people were truly disrespecting the one they call Father, the one they call God. You see how God started? If I'm a father to you, where's the honor? If I'm a king, where's disrespect? Because look at what you're doing in your worship. You see, the Israelites will bring offerings, and we talk about like that's when you bring offerings to God, that's in a sense, it's a way of you worshiping God. You are grateful for the crops, and you will bring part of that fruit to God. You offer that in worship to God. And God told them how they were to do it. But you see, after they came back from the exile, a lot of people, they were just doing their own thing. And God had to send Malachi to tell the priests to correct them in how they were approaching Him in their worship. Our worship sometimes could be corrupt, disrespectful in the eyes of God because we're not doing it according to how He prescribed. You see, the Jews, they disrespected God as their father. You know how it is. You say, if I'm a father to you, where is the honor? You're not honoring me. If I'm truly your father, you're not honoring me. I mean, look at what you're doing. If I'm a master, Lord, where's the respect? Some translation would say, where's the fear? You don't even fear me. Remember the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And even in chapter 19 of Exodus, when God came down on the mountain, Moses told the people, the Lord has come down so that you fear Him, so you always remember the Lord, how you are to behave as you go and wander off on the lands, and you come across different nations. That God wants you to learn how to fear Him, respect Him. The word for fear can be reverence. So you have this reverence, this awe for the Lord. God said, hey, if I'm your master, where's the fear? Because in other words, you're just coming, approaching me, you don't even care what you're bringing. They profane the name of the Lord. You know how it is, and the Bible talks about the name of the Lord, the name of God. That's something you don't play around with. I mean, even in the commandments, God said, do not take the name of the Lord in vain. He made it into a command. And David says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And when I'm in trouble, I run into it. I run toward it. And so the name of the Lord, you know, God would swear by His own name because there was nobody greater than God that He can swear by. He said, I swear by my great name. I'm going to do this. And now they're profaning the name of the Lord in their worship. That's just disrespectful, man. The name of the Lord. And you know, even in the New Testament, it's in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, you know, you don't disrespect that name, but you know in our society today, you see it even in movies, Jesus' name is all over there, disrespect in a disrespectful way. They use it as a curse word. And people sometimes, you know, they always, oh my God, they say, which God are you talking about? Because if it is Yahweh, you should not be using that name in vain. Maybe you have another God out there, that's cool, but if it's the God of the Bible, you should not be using that name lightly like that. And you know, we get substitute. We say, oh my gosh, because we don't want to say God, but that's still the same. Somebody says it like that. Heck is where people that don't believe in gosh will go. Because people say, you know, it's like, why do we have to even have synonyms? I mean, that's very close to the word. Just say, oops, ouch, you know, but again, that's the society we live in. And in a way, we don't realize we're disrespecting God and we come, you know, to church just like it is a movie theater. You know, just, we don't, I mean, someone's like, wow. So God had a problem with the people when they came like that. Imagine if He came to the United States of America in some churches today, I don't think that God would be welcome. I think that they would just kick Him out and do their own thing. You see that in the first century. Jesus, there was a church, He's knocking at the door because the door was shut. Now, how ridiculous is that? The worship is for Jesus and He said, I'm at the door. Anybody hear me? Open the door for me. Like, where was Jesus? Outside the church. And I always say, I don't want to do church if Jesus is not going to be there. There's a story of a little boy that he went home after the service, and he prayed to God and said, Jesus, dear Jesus, I have fun in church today. I just wish you would have been there. I mean, you think about that. Like, if when we gather here, it's for Christ. We are strengthened but we want to give everything that we do, the songs, everything has to be about Him, because if we make it about something else, it's just vain, empty, and it's also disrespectful to God. If we think He's our Father, He's worth of worship, let's do it all for Him. And so these people, these Jewish people, were bringing to God, to the altar, sick animals. You know how it is. God already told them it has to be the best offering, you know, from your flock, the one that doesn't have any blemish and doesn't have any defect and it's not lame. You bring that one to Him, to the Lord. No, they were bringing just the sick animals. Let's just sacrifice this one, you know, to God. And that's why I say, if I'm a king, where is the fear? If I'm your Father, where is the honor? You're not honoring me with how you're worshiping. They're respecting God with their offerings, offering defiled food on the altar, blind, crippled, and sick animals on the altar, by also saying that the table of the Lord is despised. It's contemptible, they call it. Despised because, think about, the priest had to offer the sacrifices, and now you got all those sick animals around you. I don't know if you've been around sick animals. The smell is not very pleasant. And so it's like, they were the priests, and they should have told the people, no, that's not what the Lord wants. But they didn't. Well, they did. Okay, you bring those ones. We just burn them. We sacrifice them to the Lord. So they were adding up to the whole idea of corruption in the worship. And God comes directly to them through the prophet Malachi. These people were bringing God those offerings, and God challenged them to offer. To offer that type of offering to the governors. God said, okay, bring that you bring it to me, bring it to the governors, bring it to the mayor to see if he's going to be pleased with you. I was thinking about another illustration. It's like, you know how it is when somebody's birthday, you treat that person with, you know, you want to honor that person with a birthday. You want to take that person out to eat. I mean, some of us do that. Now think about, you say, well, I'm going to take your birthday's today. I'm going to take you out to eat. And you ended up taking that person to Burger King or McDonald's. Now, maybe that person likes Burger King or McDonald's. But when we think about a special dinner, you take it maybe Red Lobster or things like that. I mean, isn't that what we do? I mean, my wife probably be really mad at me when it's her birthday and I say, let's go to the Hibachi Grill. What? She doesn't like that. So she will feel not honored by me if that's what I do for her. On the day of the special occasion, on the day of her birthday. I know the type two restaurant she likes. So in order for me to honor her, I probably had to think about Red Lobster or the Cheesecake Factory. And then she'd be like, because I already know. So knowing God, you want to honor Him, don't bring crippled animals because So you invite, you bring somebody, hey, I want to have your family over for dinner. We're cooking for you. You say to somebody. And then they come and you know what you offer them? Mac and cheese. Now, maybe that's all you have. That's cool. But if they knew that you can do better than that, like God knew they can do better than that, and all you have to offer them that day is mac and cheese on paper plates too. When sometimes you invite somebody, you want to honor them. You get the china out. You get those things like, because you're my special guest. God's saying to them, offer those animals you're offering me. Given to your governors to see if they're going to be pleased with that. Because the answer is no, they will not be pleased. In fact, they'll be like, what are you thinking? Those animals are no good. So God told them that, it's just wow. It's like, you still expect God to bless you, but this is what you're giving God in return. God said, do you think that I will accept your offering? The answer is no. He will not accept worship like that. Worship that is disrespectful to Him. He will not. So in other words, a lot of times we wonder why our prayers are not answered. And we have to examine ourselves. Maybe, let me see how perhaps I've been worshiping God. Maybe I've been disrespecting Him and I don't even realize. And no wonder He's not going to even listen to me because He said to them, don't even bother. Because I'm not going to listen until you change the way you're approaching me. You're dishonoring me. You're disrespecting me if I am your great father and king. You know, I heard the story. Usually a lot of times preachers would tell the story around Thanksgiving. I read a story. I don't even know if it's true, but it connects what I'm talking about. This lady one time, she was cleaning the freezer. One of those, you know, big box freezers, you know, not the one in the refrigerator, but she had a freezer in the basement, and she found this frozen turkey there. And, you know, it's like, it's been a year old. I mean, it's been a year ago she had it there. She forgot about the frozen turkey. And she was like, oh, wow, I didn't know that I had this turkey in here. It's been a year already. So she did not know if the turkey still was going to be good to eat. Now, you know, in the States, the power really doesn't go out. So, you know, it was still frozen. So she called the turkey company and said, hey, I found this frozen turkey in my freezer. And it's been a year, so I just want to know if I can still eat it. The person on the other line say, you never had shortage of power? No, I mean, it's still frozen, it's hard, you know. And the guy said to the lady, well, the flavor might not be the same because it's been frozen for a whole year. I mean, you still can eat it. Yeah, but the flavor, I mean, you know, the quality of the taste, it might vary because it's been already a whole year. And then she said, oh, okay, no, I just needed to know. Okay, I guess I will give it to the church. You know how it is sometimes. Like, and I always say, people, if it's not good for your house, it's not good for the church either. You know, it's like, I'm not going to eat it, but I just give it to the... A lot of times people do that, and they don't realize. In a sense, you're saying, God, just, I don't need that, so just you take it, instead of giving them the best. You know, that, if you did that to God, that is disrespectful worship to him. God wasn't pleased with the worship of these people. He said, but you profane my name by saying the Lord's table is defiled and its food is contemptible. And you say, what a burden. It's a burden now to serve God. I mean, that's the attitude that the priest had. Now, isn't that interesting that God wished that somebody would just shut the door of the temple, that they don't even bother coming? Can you imagine that? Like God said to a church, you know, don't even bother gathering together because I'm not even listening to you guys. What you're doing is useless. I'm not listening. There was one of the churches in the book of Revelation that was the case. That God said, you know, you can sing beautiful, but I'm not even there. Your worship is all about you. I'm not even showing up. And I think how many cases in America, Jesus does not even show up for church. And I think if he did, they probably would not invite him. Because it's all about whatever they do and Jesus is not even there. And to me, I don't want to preach another sermon if Jesus isn't going to be there. I don't want to do anything else if he's not going to be the center of what I'm doing. And so Yahweh tell the people, oh, I wish that somebody just shut the door of the temple so that you don't even bring to offer and light useless fire here. In other words, God's saying, you can pray all you want, you can sing all you want, but I'm not listening because until you change the way you're approaching me, until you change your worship and it becomes from your heart. And it's not just a disrespecting act that you're showing right here. Look at verse 10. He said, oh, that one would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fire on my altar. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will not accept offerings from your hands. So imagine when God's not pleased with us, it doesn't matter how beautiful we can pray or sing. If he's not pleased, we can say all the right words, all the right prayers, and he's not listening. Remember the story Jesus said to somebody, when you were going to offer something in the altar and your brother has something against you, go first and be reconciled to your brothers and then you come back and offer that. Because in the meantime, if you have this issue with your brother or sister and you think you're going to come and worship me, useless. It's almost disrespectful to God. He's not listening. So he already said how we can approach him. You know, even when you take communion, he says, a man ought to examine himself. Don't just take that lightly. Think, oh, everybody's drinking. You need to know what you're doing because that can kill you. In the long haul, when you think of you approaching God and you treating him like it's a game. And Paul says it like that. When you read 1 Corinthians 11, around 26, he says, that's why many of you are sick and many have died. Because you approach the Lord's table like it's a game. And you see, that God doesn't play when it comes to disrespecting his name. And sometimes he allows people to go for a while until like, boom, here comes the boom, like they say. So God wasn't pleased with the Jewish people during this time in the fifth century because how they disrespected his name. Now, there was another incident. Amos also preached. Listen to what Amos said. Amos chapter 5, verse 21 to 24. Almost the same scenario that happened during the time of Malachi. Now, Amos says, this is God talking, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. The newest NIV is saying, like, your assemblies are like a stench to me, like, ooh. It stinks. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with your noise or your songs. Ouch. God's telling them, forget about singing. It's noisy to me. I'm not even listening to it. I will not listen to your music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like never failing stream. That's what God wanted from those people. That you see, they were bringing offering to God, but they were neglecting justice and you know, taking care of other people, like the Pharisees would do. You bring the offering, but you're not helping other people. You bring the offering, but you're just showing injustice to others. So that was the case with Amos, and you see here we're dealing with a priest that they were bringing defiled food to the altar. So much you're bringing God that, even though, and then you're still imploring his blessings. So much we want God to bless us, but we're going to give him our leftovers. I mean, think about that for a moment. He's our God, and you know, I'm going to pray to him so that he will bless me. Instead of me giving him the best, I'm just going to give him the scraps. That's exactly what the religious, the Israelites were doing during the fifth century, and God had it with them. He said, don't even come to church, he said. If that's how you're going to come, don't even bother because I'm not going to be there. They disrespected the name of the Lord through their worship, through their offerings, how they offer God. So at times, we got to watch it because we might be doing the same. When we're not giving God our best. Now, think about so many things we have to offer God, our time. Sometimes we just care about God when we have time. You know, because for us, time is precious, but God gave us the time anyways, but we spend that time on something else, but God is just secondary type of thing. You know, talents, well, I use my talents, but for God, maybe a little bit. So it's like we, in a sense, disrespecting him, we just giving him leftovers. Leftovers are offerings, leftover what he blesses. Instead of providing and giving him the best, we just give him whatever we have. When we have time, we think of you, Lord. And then the problem I have with that is like, then we still expect God to bless us. I always say it in America, we say, God bless America. America, how are you playing today? You're not even playing by God's rule. Therefore, God will not bless you. Because he already said, for me to bless you, you have to go and abide by these rules, but you're not. So therefore, you can say and sing all the time, may God bless America. It's not going to happen until you start operating by God's standard. God's not going to bless us until we learn how to worship him. God's not going to listen to my prayer until I understand I got to do that if I want to pray. I got to do this thing so that nothing will block my connection with God. When I disrespect him, I can pray all that I want to pray and sing all that I want to sing, and he's not listening. You see, for couples, Paul talks about, he says, husband, treat your wife with respect. Make sure that you guys are doing okay so that your prayers might not be hindered. So even my relationship with my wife can cause God not to listen to me. Remember why I told you that I cannot get up over here and preach to you if we and she and I will have an issue? Because it's almost God's punching me every time. Say, you're going to get up over there and you have not even reconciled yourself with your wife. Now, I know some people can do it, but I can't. So if you see me standing up here today, it's because she's happy with me. She's okay with me. Otherwise, you know, because I imagine I'd be preaching and she'd be just like rolling her eyes like, yeah, there he is. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, but because I realize it's important. And I have tried it before. I had tried it before just to sit down and write a sermon. And we were not in talking terms for a little bit. And I couldn't write the sermon. It's almost like God saying, yeah, you got to go do this first. And then you can talk. You and I can talk. But sometimes we neglect that. Even our relationship with our brothers can cause us can cause God not to listen to you, depending what it is that you have. So make sure that you clear that path. I mean, when it comes to worshiping God, man, He's not playing around. It's like, if I'm your king, you gotta do according to what I'm telling you to do it. So God does not tolerate when His people, the people that are supposed to know who He is, dishonor His name in worship. And He says at the end, my name will be great among the nations. Pure offering shall be brought before me, He says. Pure offering, not defiled animals and things and rotten food. You bring in that expecting me to take care of you. I mean, how silly is that? Then He says, my name will be great among the nations, He says. Now, it's interesting. He says, cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable meal in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices blemished animal to the Lord. He says, it's like somebody that, he said, cursed is the cheat. Cursed is the person who promises to give God the best, and at the end, you ended up giving him the leftovers. And that's what, exactly what the Jewish people were doing back during the time of Malachi. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name will be feared among the nations. Now, if God is truly your king, my father, your father, our master, wouldn't you want to give him your best? I mean, if a king came to, Queen Elizabeth came to town, I mean, we just give her our best things of the land. I mean, you know, the best car for her to ride on. I mean, the best. If she came to see our nation, we would just go, you know, crazy for her. And if God is our king, why don't we go crazy for him? In everything that we have, that he, whatever we have is not even ours because he gave it to us. You know, we're just stewards so that we can just bless him with whatever it is he has given to us. The more we grasp his greatness, his power, his love, his character, the more that we will understand worship. The better that we can declare his worth to the nations, to the people, the better we will worship him. In order for us to truly worship him, we have to get to know him so that we don't get in trouble with him. We disrespect his name when we treat him less important than ourselves. We disrespect God's name when we treat him less important than other people. All the activities that we do, we disrespect his name when he's not the number one. He's not our king, truly. Even though we can sing, you are my king, you know, you are a great God, but we're only singing it. We're not acting upon what we sing. And then our worship becomes just that. I pray that we, unlike the Israelites during that time, that we learn to worship God, to offer him our best. Our best, whatever it is that he has given us, the time, the best, you know, our efforts, the strength, that we love God with everything that we are. Heart, soul, and mind, that we put that to worship and to do it for him with that he knows in our hearts that we truly mean that. You remember the widow? She only had a little penny, but she gave it from the heart. And Jesus said she gave more than everybody else. I mean, that's worship right there. That's all you had. And but God knows that it came from your heart. Worship is all about knowing God, and worship is all about responding to him from your heart. Because you respond to him from something else, he will not care for it. He will not accept it. So the question that I want to leave you with this morning as the praise team is going to come and sing the song, I think RJ has the heart of worship. What are you offering God today? That God that you pray to, that God that you worship, and what are you offering him today? Make sure that whatever it is you're offering is coming from the heart, and is also the best that you can. God's not asking you, oh, give me something that you don't have. He's asking you, what you have, give him your best. And that's an act of worship that he'd be honored with. When you're giving him the leftovers, when you have time, when, you know, that's leftover for God. So I hope that we do not disrespect him with the way we're worshiping, that we honor him, that we realize that all that we are is because of him. That song I think that RJ has says that I bring you more than a song, because a song in itself is not what you require, because you're seeking deep into my heart. So Lord, I always pray, whatever I'm going to do in this life, I'm going to play sports, I'm going to do whatever, Well, everything that I want to do in this life and that I do, I want to get all my heart, my soul, everything that I am for you. And if you get to know me, that usually that's what I do. Like if I join a team, I'm going to be 100% in that team. I'm not just going to be sitting on the bench. I want to get in the game. Like if I'm going to be part of this, I want to be part of that. If I want to worship God, Lord, I want to worship you the way you told me to worship you. I want to honor you with everything, every ounce of my body, everything you gave me. My strength is for you. My voice, everything that I am, I want to dedicate that to you because it's yours and you can take it away anytime you want. So may I learn to worship you and to honor you with everything that I have that belongs to you in the first place.